We're joined now by Tom Clavin, one of the best writers in America. He's back with his book about Wild Bill Hickok. It's called Wild Bill, the True Story of the American Frontier's First Gunfighter. And good morning to you, Tom Clavin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And you are an interesting man in your own right. You have a background as a working journalist, which many novelists and other kinds of writers, and you're writing a book about a man who actually existed in a big way. But you served as an editor, a reporter, and how did you get in the game that you're in now?
Well, I always wanted to be a writer, and as a practical consideration, I started out as a journalist, a reporter, you know, writing for newspapers, for magazines. And I'm really glad I did, because once I was able to get the opportunities, and it didn't happen overnight, any aspiring writers out there listening, don't be discouraged if you know, your first book doesn't sell or your first attempts don't go too well in the direction you want it to. It takes time, and when I first had my opportunities to write nonfiction books, I was very thankful for my background as a journalist, because research is so much a part of what I do. Wild Bill Hickok is a perfect example. You know, there's so much that's been written about him over the decades that is, to use a highly technical term, is a lot of hooey. And so part of my job was to be able to sort of carefully sift through what was there and separate the facts from the fictions. And fortunately, there's what's factual, there's so much that's exciting and factual at the same time that it makes for a good book. You know, one of the concerns could be, well, if you're only left with the facts, what if the facts are not that interesting? Hickok led an amazing life. They didn't have to exaggerate what he did. His life was in some ways a factual exaggeration.
Well, Hickok was a guy who didn't shy away from a confrontation, did he?
No, he wasn't. Now, Hickok did not was never the aggressor. You know, he did not look for confrontations. He was never a belligerent kind of person. But sometimes it came right up to him, and in some cases it was because he saw somebody who was being treated unfairly. He was always big on helping protect the underdog. And then as his reputation as a gunfighter grew, and we've seen this in movies like Shane and The Gunfighter with Gregory Peck and other pictures, there was always somebody younger and faster who wanted to maybe prove himself by taking on the undisputed heavyweight champion of gunfighters. So there were times when Hickok had no choice but to resort to gunplay. And when he was really pushed to it, had no other choice. When he did not hesitate, he shot to kill. But he always avoided that as much as he could.
He killed approximately how many people?
Well, you know, the ones that we know about that were clear-cut, reported upon, you know, somewhere between half a dozen and a dozen. But what we don't know is that, see, he was a spy in for the Union Army during the Civil War. And we don't know, you know, what confrontations he had as a spy, which might have resulted in somebody's death. And nobody at the time counted too if Indians who were killed. You know, he was a scout, he was a federal marshal, he was out on the plains a lot. He had run-ins with hostile Indian war parties, and that resulted in some people being killed. So those were not usually counted as deaths at the time. So, but we can pretty much rely on Hickok being responsible for half a dozen or a dozen deaths, and there are probably, you know, you can add X number more on top of that.
The book is Wild Bill, the True Story of the American Frontier's First Gunfighter. Now, he was reported, Tom Clavin, to be an inveterate hater of Indians, Native Americans. Is that true?
Well, I didn't find any evidence that he went around, you know, telling people, I hate Indians. But I think he was representative of his time, that for him and for many people on the frontier, the Indians were viewed as, I mean, that term that was commonly used was the word savages. And there was a big fear of Indians. And, you know, part of that fear was justified because many times Indians were fighting for their, you know, with the little hunting land they had left, or fighting to revenge a killing. And so the frontier settlements had a genuine and healthy fear of what might happen to them. They were in very risky situations. I think Hickok was a man of his times in that regard. So I wouldn't you know, criticize him too much if he was an anti-Indian person, because at that place in time, he was part of the understandable majority.
Now, in 1804, we had the Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, kill Alexander Hamilton in a duel. Now, Hickok came along. He was born in 1837. But that was part of the culture in the 19th century, dueling. Did he get in duels very often?
Well, he participated. You know, dueling was, you know, even though it was outlawed officially, it was a pretty accepted practice as a way to end a dispute. And it was, you know, a couple of men would face off. They'd take paces. They'd turn around. They'd fire their guns. A lot of times they didn't even fire at each other. It was just the idea of going through the process of the duel satisfied one's honor. But what happened in July 1865 in Missouri is what we're calling the first recorded quick-draw gunfight, which means that Hickok and a man named Davis Tutt faced each other on the town square, and basically whoever drew the fastest and could shoot more accurately was going to win that battle, that duel, that gunfight, and it was Hickok. He was not only faster, but he was accurate with both hands, and poor Davis Tutt was dead before he hit the ground.
He was born in 1837. He lived 39 years, a remarkable 39 years on the planet, and his death was one that was somewhat unusual.
It was. He was in Deadwood, South Dakota, because there had been a number of gold strikes in the Black Hills, and Deadwood was a jumping-off point for a lot of prospectors and also a place where there were saloons and hotels and gamblers. Hickok was one of them, as a way to take the money of the people who were getting the money out of the mountains. And he was in a poker game one afternoon in Deadwood. It was actually August 2nd, 1876. And there was a man named Jack McCall it wasn't even his real name. Nobody knew much of his background, why he was even dead in Deadwood in the first place. Not a good poker player. He'd been in a game the night before, which he had, you know, been wiped out. Hickok had actually given him money just to buy a meal. And that set off something like he felt insulted. McCall resented that act of kindness. So Hickok uncharacteristically had his back facing the door of the saloon. He always sat with his back to the wall. And McCall snuck in, and he inched his way across the bar until he was right behind Hickok. He took a pistol, put it to the back of his head, and pulled the trigger. And Hickok was killed instantly. And it's interesting that's the way he died, because, you know, he died as the undisputed heavyweight champion of gunfighters. He was undefeated by anybody who tried to come at him head on.
And his hand that he was playing at the time is known as the dead man's hand.
Aces and eights.
Two pairs of aces and eights, right?
And a queen, yeah. and that's been a superstitious hand for people ever since.
Was he a likable guy?
Yes, he was a likable guy. You know, his code of honor was, I will treat you treat me with respect and friendship, I will do the same thing to you. And he enjoyed telling stories and hearing stories in the saloons and hearing stories from other people. He was a good companion out on the plains when, you know, as an Army scout, as a federal marshal, and sitting around the campfire. He and Buffalo Bill Cody were genuinely very, very good friends until Hickok's demise. And people enjoyed him. Again, he was not somebody who was ever looking for a fight. He wanted things to be quite peaceful, and he enjoyed a good laugh. He had a good sense of humor. And people really did like him. They just sometimes were kind of scared of him because of his reputation.
We've only got about 15 seconds, but I know you love James Lee Burke.
Oh, I do. James Lee Burke if any member of his family is listening, he is my favorite living American writer. I can't wait to read New Iberia Blues, his new bestseller.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The book is Wild Bill, the true story of the American frontier's first gunfighter, Wild Bill Hickok. For Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.